The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News.
Well, now, Ireland is seeing its electricity reading of meters modernised, and the smart meter has been installed in many areas of the country, and I presume that rollout is still continuing. So what does the smart meter do? What can we, as individual consumers, learn from the smart meter? And how does the smart meter interface with the various retailers who are supplying the power to your home? Well, I'm joined in studio by Carmel O'Connor, smart metering project manager at ESB Networks, and we're also joined by Karen Trant, Director of Customer Policy and Protection at the Commission for Regulation of Utilities. Good morning and welcome to you both. Now, we'll start with you, Carmel. This project, when did it start to install the smart meters?
It started back in 2019. It's a phased approach, so there's three phases to the project. So the first phase was 2019 to last year, which was getting out about 250,000 meters, and the initial software to allow us to take remote readings and some events. But then we're now in phase two. So phase two is the next million metres. So at the moment, we're about 960,000 metres are installed.
Now, for someone who gets a smart metre installed, do they have to do anything at all, or will it just function as a regular metre until something dramatic happens?
Well, it's a little bit more than a regular meter, because the smart meter can talk remotely back to ESB networks.
No, but from the punter's point of view.
From the punter's point of view, it means you no longer have a meter reader calling
to take your meter read
every four times a year. And it means that from within the first few weeks of a meter going in, remote readings will be taken. So 960,000 customers are out there will never have an estimated bill again. And it also means that if they were changing supplier, that process will be much quicker, because we'll have the readings straight away.
Bang
on the system.
So if you're changing on the 4th of October, it happens on the 4th of October.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. We have that information to hand.
There's no imbalance, shall we say, in the payments made to either departing retailer and the incoming retailer. Okay, so it's great from that point of view. No more meter reading and exact information. Now, the information that you get, what do you draw down that helps you in networks?
So we will also get some event data. So one of the things that we have managed to do is we have a poor voltage use case, as we call it. So it means where the meter will actually flag if the voltage at a premises is higher or lower than it should be. And it means our network planners can then prioritise and see, look, there's something going on in that area, and they can work on that. And it really helps for that. And over the years now, again, it's a phased process. We're in transition. We're at the first kind of the early stages. But in later years, when more and more meters are on there and we can get more event data, we can really see it helping in network planning, fault outages, lots of stuff that we can see in the future.
Now, even already, can you tell different patterns of usage in different places? I mean, there might be, I don't know, apartment blocks that use electricity for heating, for example, or apartment blocks that use gas for heating, or indeed well-insulated housing estates that don't use much heating at all. No. Do you get that granular detail?
Not at the moment, no. I mean, that, like, in the future maybe, but at the moment it's very set what we can use it for, and like I say, it's over a good few years, and we're going to see the benefits, I'd say, into decades into the future. But for the minute, no. At the moment, there's a small set of uses that we have, but we're planning for future uses.
In terms of your retailer, do you have to kind of invoke the smart meter with your retailer and say, I want to use the smart meter smartly? Or if you don't tell them that, do they just use it at the standard tariff that they've always used for you?
Yes. When they get a new smart meter, there's no change unless a customer decides to get onto their supplier and have a look at the different options that are there. Now, Karen can probably talk about that better than me.
But the point is that it's just an ordinary meter unless you invoke its smart capabilities with your retailer.
Right now. But one of the parts of, you know, if the phased approach, by the end of this year, one of our tasks was to make smart metering data available to customers and allow them to get access to what we would call a harmonised downloadable file. So it's just a download of the information. So as of this week, we're actually starting to initiate a process where the smart meters will talk to a data hub, an ESB Networks data hub. And in early November, a customer portal is going to be made available to customers so that they can log on and they can see graphs of their usage, whether, and if they happen to have microgeneration, it'll show export usage as well.
Okay. Now the question of usage, if I go onto this portal when it opens, I'll be able to see presumably when I'm using most electricity.
Yes.
And then I presume if I'm canny enough, I will compare the offerings from the retailers to see, well, I'm using a lot of power between 7 and 9. Who's the cheapest between 7 and 9?
That's
and
it.
I'm using very little between 11 and 1 in the morning because I'm at work. Therefore, you know, who's the cheapest? It's that mix. So I'd have to do a few sums to get the best deal.
Yeah. And maybe you don't have to do the sums because you can use the file and you can give it to a switching site or to a supplier and say, here's my usage. And what I will say is back in 2010, when the initial trials were done for the smart meters, there was an overall drop of 3% of usage and about 8% of customers moved their usage from 5 to 7 to off-peak times. So we have the data from the initial trials of smart meters that show that, yes, when customers have the information, they do change the way and they can either reduce their overall usage and they can definitely change.
Now, you
talked
there about micro generation and we're talking about people who've got solar panels or whatever, I presume, and they can generate electricity themselves. What do they get? Because I thought in a utopian world, if I am buying so many thousands of units every year from ESB and or from my retailer, and I'm actually generating so many units, maybe half that on my roof, that then I only pay for the balance. In other words, I get credit at the same rate they're charging me as I'm exporting to them. Turns out that's not the case. You have to sell back to the grid at a bargain basement price.
Well, now, again, I can't talk about that because I'm not a supplier. But what I can say is somebody with microgen, they're like whether it's solar panels or whatever different things they have.
Windmills and farms
or
whatever.
Yeah. But they're utilising that energy when they need it. And some people have batteries, so they also power up the batteries.
Sure.
So it's when there's energy being generated that they're not using, and then that goes to it back into the network.
But they don't pay you the rate that you're paying them. I'll talk to Karen about that in a moment. But anyway, as far as you're concerned, this is a technical project. It's going very well.
It's going brilliantly. We're installing about 10,000 meters a week, and it's 2.4 million meters over 6 years. So it means that every customer in the country is going to have a smart meter, hopefully by the end of 2024. Even with kind of two COVID lockdowns, we're still managing to be on target. So from our perspective, it's going really well.
Now, these are texts coming in, and some of them obviously are Karen's province. I have a smart meter that I've never used because it's more expensive at peak times. Plus, and this is one for you, Carmel, you cannot undo a smart meter once it's activated. Is that so? Once you've kind of shared the info with your retailer, you can't go back, or can you, to the standard rate?
Well, again, switching between tariffs would be a supplier question, but from a network's perspective, The meter gives all sorts of information.
I understand that.
So it gives registers.
But if I'm smart with retailer one, do I have to remain smart? We'll go straight to you, Karen, on that. Do I have to remain smart with retailer two? Or can I say, I want to go back to the old way?
Well, look, we need to sort of make a distinction between the tariff and the actual meter itself. And Carmel's right, the configuration of the meter is one thing. So you have a smart meter. You might decide, OK, I've gone to a smart tariff with my retailer, my supplier. I may not like that tariff. I may decide I want to go back on to a 24-hour tariff.
Yeah.
This one doesn't.
And you can do that, can you?
You can. And you need to shop around to do that. If your own supplier isn't doing it, shop around, look for another supplier that's doing it. And that's what we would encourage customers to do. You certainly can do it. It's not down to the configuration of the meter.
Okay, but it's up to the consumer, him or herself, to decide whether they go smart or not.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, they just go standard tariff.
Yeah.
Now, there was night rate and day rate. Are those offerings still out there?
So if you have the old day-night meter, I call it the old day-night meter, yes, you're still on that standard tariff. And it will
assume. But if you change to smart, can you get the old day-night tariff?
If you change to a smart meter, there is, yes, the day-night. You don't have to change to a smart tariff. But if you change to a smart tariff, the smart tariff will calculate your usage on a day-night peak. It won't calculate it just day-night. So there's an allocation across those periods.
Okay. Now, when people have installed the meter and all this information becomes available through the portal, Carmel was suggesting that, you know, people like bonkers.ie will actually take the information in, I presume, Carmel, a digital format. I mean,
yeah, it's like a spreadsheet. It's a CSV file.
So you can actually, like a spreadsheet. You can pass the file on to bonkers or refer them however it's going to work to it, and they will do the comparisons for you. Is that, as you understand it, Karen, a difficult process, the software to do that kind of thing?
No, I don't think it is. And I think really the issue, I suppose, is around the governance and the access to the data by suppliers and customers. And at the minute, we're consulting on the access to the data. So it's a data access code to the portal. So the actual technology and the downloading of the information shouldn't be a big issue. I suppose, look, it's over a million metres in one go in November. So it'll take a little bit of time, as Carmel said, about 6 months.
Now, the question of the price for micro generation that is being offered. Who is paying that money? I mean, is it Air Grid who paid the money because they're getting power? Or is it, does your retailer...
It's your retailer. The suppliers have different offerings. It can range from anywhere from 14 cents per megawatt hour back to the actual customer. So it's a case of shopping around. That's called the clean energy export premium.
So they're prepared to pay up to, the max is 14 cents per kilowatt hour.
It depends. It depends on the actual supplier.
But that's the max, is it, at the moment?
It's sort of the minimum, I think.
The minimum?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what are you paying... typically a minimum, if you're buying from them, what do you pay as a minimum?
Well, that depends. That depends on the offering. And I think...
But
look,
typically?
Well, I don't have a typical average amount. I mean, you could put it into the EAB, which is the estimated average bill that we would work from.
Are we talking about a multiple of 14 cent?
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
I'm saying is I'm generating electricity and giving it to them cheap, and they're selling it back to me expensively.
I suppose, look, the thing is that the whole objective of the MicroGen, programme is that this isn't really about creating sort of mini businesses. This is about customers being able to see a benefit to their MicroGen. If they have excess, they can export it back onto the grid, which is great. I mean, look, it's the whole smart metering piece is an enabler for this whole decarbonisation.
I just thought it would make more sense just to have a, you know, netting out the amount, how much I'm buying from you and how much I'm giving to you, then I pay for the difference.
Yeah.
But that's not what they're doing.
I think we're at the beginning of that customer journey for MicroGen, and certainly for the clean energy guarantee, export guarantee. And I think that we can certainly look at that as time goes on.
Now, one of the things people are up in arms about, there was reporting last week that you have massive increases being imposed on the standing charge. And people are saying, well, what's changed about the standing charge? And indeed, you know, you're always thinking of the standing charge as going to ESB networks for their maintenance of the system and all that. They don't get all of the standing charge, do they?
No, well, the standing charge is made up of fixed costs for the supplier. So how they charge that on to the customer is really a matter for the supplier. They will have a unit charge and a standing charge, and the standing charge makes up part of that offering that they'll make to the customer. So in some cases, you could have a higher standing charge, but a lower unit price, or a lower standing charge, but a higher unit price. And that
is
makes
there any
up
case
the
for a standing charge at all?
Well, look, you know, it makes up part of the network costs, which...
No, I can understand ESB networks getting standing charge. They're the people installing smart meters. They used to be the people paying meter readers to go round. You know, they have visible expenses that are attached. The people, the retailers, I mean, some of them don't do any generation at all. They buy power from A, and they sell it on to the customer, and they're just admin. I mean, they don't do anything.
I think one of the things that we will, although we don't have a regulatory role in relation to pricing, it's a competitive market, I certainly think we will be asking very serious questions of some of the suppliers as to how they can justify some of the increases in the standing charge. Now, look, we've got that anecdotally. We haven't seen it yet, but we'll certainly be asking questions of the suppliers.
Okay, so bottom line for the customer is you really have to have a look at the total offering. I mean, the people last week on the programme saying, listen, I used very little electricity because I was away for 6 months or whatever, and yet I'm paying a couple of hundred euro in standing charge. What am I paying for?
Sure. No, that's true. And I mean, look, if your standing charge is high, shop around, look for another supplier. Yeah,
but it is all part of the offering.
Absolutely.
That when you're looking at price, you have to look at the totality of it.
The totality of the bill, the standing charge and the unit price. Yeah.
There was something about one of the suppliers, I think you were mentioning that BGE might give you free electricity for a Saturday or something.
Yeah, well, I heard actually on the radio that they've started advertising that. So, look, you can put in your usage and they'll give you a free Saturday, no charge for the electricity you use on a Saturday. So if you want to do all your washing on a Saturday, if you want to do, you know, whatever.
Okay, so the high usage, your tumble dryer,
yes.
Now, I'm not trying to advocate that people are abusive of energy, because we should all be trying to
Absolutely.
Reduce our energy consumption. But if needs must, that's when you do your laundry.
Absolutely. It's an option. It's an option for customers. And if they feel they can save money and they have the information, absolutely. There's other offerings out there as well. I mean, if you have an EV vehicle, I think one of the suppliers are offering a night boost where the electricity is so cheap between 3-hour periods.
Yeah.
But that's
so if
the
you
way
can
that,
time yeah, your charging.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. A big project, a very exciting project, I think, because micro generation is going to become part of
Absolutely.
Our lives. I mean, new schools that are being built, you'd expect PV right across those roofs. You would expect that.
Yeah.
Public buildings everywhere, really.
Yeah. And there's a new mini gen project coming on. So like maybe farmers or that have way more roof space than a normal house. So, yeah, absolutely.
And we're looking at small scale generation as well. So that's the next level up.
So I might have a windmill, a small domestic windmill in my back garden. All right. Look, thank you both very much for coming in. Fascinating stuff. Carmel O'Connor, who's Smart Metering Project Manager at ESB Networks, and Karen Trant, Director of Customer Policy and Protection at the Commission for Regulation of Utilities.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.